Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Get it. The Burt Show.
So the Burt's Big Adventure raffle for this Audi Q3, this 2025 Audi Q3 from Audi Atlanta. The raffle over tonight at 5 o'clock. I was told yesterday that if we could sell 441 tickets, it would be our best-selling raffle in the history of Burt's Big Adventure.
And we've been doing this for 12 years, the raffle.
Yeah, I mean, it's been successful every year, and it gets a little bit bigger every year. 441 is a lot of raffle tickets to try to sell in, what, 9 hours or something like that, 8 hours. But can we try to do this?
I mean, we can certainly try.
Yep. Yeah. You can go to burtsbigadventure.org. It's $100 tax deductible. Every single penny of that is going to Burt's Big Adventure, the trip down to Disney World with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. Also, all of our programs like the Fairy Godparent program and the reunions and all the stuff that we do. So the goal would be 441 by 5 o'clock tonight.
I believe that that is a very attainable goal.
I think you had a good point this morning. If we are just relying on Burt Show donations, Burt Show fam donations, that might be tough to get to. But if you know somebody rich, or if you want to share it on social, that might really help out a lot.
Yeah, if you go to Burt's, at Burt's Big ADV on Instagram or on Facebook, you can absolutely share away their post in regards to the raffle.
I would sure love to come in here tomorrow and go, we did it, you guys. One last mini miracle. So if you can help us out, burtsbigadventure.org. All right, Tommy, take it from here, my man.
All right, Burt. This next surprise guest is a former member of the Burt Show. He was on the show for 3 years. And man, right before you left, I had this awesome idea. We were going to have a night at a club. And I remember sitting in the meeting, and I think I got a standing ovation when I said the name to this promotion. We were going to call it Hispanic at the Disco. And I was so proud. But then he left. But now he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Burt Show studio, the one and only Just Romeo.
Yay! Oh, my God. You haven't aged a bit.
Still has that handsome baby face and those gorgeous dimples.
Oh, man, you smell good, too. What is that, dude?
I have no idea.
That's good.
I just bought it, like, I don't know, 2 days ago.
How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing great.
What's going on?
I'm outstanding. You know, I'm grateful for the life that I have right now. And just, you know, it's been a tough year for immigrants, you know? So it's been difficult to just look at what's going on and see, like, you know, children living the nightmare that haunted me as, you know, as a kid. So
yeah, this is going to be a very maybe silly question, but from your perspective, and this is one of the things that
I've really appreciated about the Burt Show over the years is opening up dialogue to different cultures in every walk of life. And you were so great at doing that for the Latino community. So let me ask you a question about that. Because at least from the outside looking in, you really got to do kind of get out of your own algorithm sometimes. It feels to me, well, I know this is fact because my friend Blanca was telling me this, that she has friends now who have brown skin that are here legally, but they have a fear when they leave their house every single day that they are going to be like pulled over by ICE. Do you have that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think even just the idea that talking Spanish in public is also like a bad thing now, you know? So, I mean, there's times where I, more than anything, I think I fear for my parents because I think they're the ones that, you know, are more at risk than anything else. But yeah, I think that fear is just there. I mean, you focus on the news a lot and you see what's going on and you see like that you're just driving around. Like you don't absolutely have to do anything anymore. Like you just, the way you look is enough for them to pull you over. So yeah.
For those that aren't familiar with Romeo's family story from El Salvador, you want to kind of give them the recap of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And also just, you know, I wanted to say thank you as well because, you know, I think you guys mentioned it in the last couple of days with some of the guests you had, like representation matters, you know, and I think for me, this was one of the most amazing things, being able to connect with people and being able to share a part of my life that I think I was so afraid to talk about. And then once I shared it with everyone, it was just like, oh, there's others who are going through the exact same feelings that I'm going through.
Let me piggyback on that one just for 1 second before you tell their story. The kind of format that we've had for 25 years is not really endorsed by radio. And that format is bring in all sorts of walks of life and talk about it all. Generally, broadcasting, and I use finger quotes on that, really is very narrow casting. You have your audience, you stick to your audience. You have a white audience, you talk to white people. You have a black audience, you speak to black people. The Spanish speaking stations can speak to Spanish people. That has never been acceptable to me. So when we started this show 25 years ago, bringing diversity to the radio was not endorsed by the radio station, but it has been something that's been in my heart my entire life. So this kind of dialogue to me is so important, and it should be what radio is all about because this is the important stuff right here. But it just doesn't happen on a lot of morning shows, and this is something I'm so proud of on this community right here. And Romeo brought the Latino community in, and he's going to tell you why here in a second, and it's been a beautiful thing to watch, man.
Yeah, no, and I think that's why this show was so great. And I think this show is fantastic and it's lasted just as long because you've been able to, you know, bring other voices in as well. But yeah, to give you a little bit of context to who I am and my family background, my family is from El Salvador and they immigrated here when I was 8 years old. They brought me into this country just for a better life, a better opportunity. We used to live in an area that was run by gangs and there was a lot of gang violence. Luckily we have a new president, you know, he's able to clean up that country and it's completely different now. But at the time when my parents left, it was I was 12 years old, or I was 8 years old, and I remember them basically telling my mom, like, when he's 12, we're gonna come and get him. And so that was one of the biggest factors why my family came here.
Like, to recruit you into the gang?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So they were literally telling you, a couple of years, he's got a couple of years.
They would tell my mom that.
He's gonna be in a gang. Wow.
Yeah. And so I came here, I, you know, grown up here my entire life. I feel like I am 100% American in every single shape, form, and everything else. And I don't know what else to say. I think
tell them about your immigration journey too, because you're.
Yeah. Yeah. So I fall into a category known as dreamers, which is essentially like children that were brought into this country by their parents. And there's no sort of like way of getting some sort of green card or a pathway to citizenship. It's just this limbo that we're in, and it's constantly being like played around by both sides of the party for like a bargaining chip. And so my life has always been a bargaining chip for you know, some people out there. And it's scary, I would say, a lot of times, because it's just, you know, you never know. There's just such an uncertainty and fear of what can happen tomorrow or what can happen today. But I fall into a category of dreamers, and yeah, it's just, I think we're not even children anymore, but we're talking about people who are like 30 years old now. Mm-hmm. So I'm pushing 30 at this point, you know? So I was like, yeah.
You look good, man. For 30, you look good.
I'm trying. I've been working out. I've been pushing myself, doing things.
I was going to say, you took the jacket off, and I'm like, he did that to show off the guns.
Say it again.
When Tommy told us earlier that you were coming in, right before you walked in here, I'm like, I can't remember what his original name was.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes. Kevin!
I don't even remember that.
Kevin!
I didn't even remember that. It's always been Romeo and just Romeo.
Yeah, no, I think that's my history with the show. Like, Romeo was born literally in this studio.
Hang on. It wasn't Kevin, then Romeo and just Romeo. There was a period there where we were all mispronouncing his name, and then he had to correct us. So it was Kevin Romeo.
That's right.
And then Romeo.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to change my name and I had corrected. But yeah, I started off on the show as an intern. I was an intern for the show in the summer of 2020, right when COVID happened. So I don't understand how you're retiring. Like, you could have taken a mic in your suitcase. Like, you did the show from far away. Right? What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm done performing for a while, man. Everybody's sure that I'm going to end up back, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I spent the pandemic with you guys, genuinely. Like, you guys gave me an opportunity to, like, not lose my mind.
Because you were going to school in Delaware, right?
Yes. Yes, and because of COVID, I stuck around. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't go back to school, so I stuck around, and then you guys offered me a job part-time and then full-time, and then I was here for exactly... I was just telling Tommy, it was I almost felt like I had a contract with you guys, because it was... I started my first day on the job was September 1st of 2020, and I left September 1st of 2023.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. So it was, like, perfect 3 years here. And, dude, the 3 years that I was here is, like, incredible. Like, I think there's some of the best times of my life. I was trying to think on the drive here. I was like, do I have any story? Like, because you guys have some heavy hitter guests, okay? Yeah. And then there's just me. Like, just Romeo here.
Essentially, Jesus was in here at 7 a.m. So how are you going to follow Jesus?
Right. So I'm just like, oh, man, I don't even know if I have a story with you, Bert. I think it's just genuinely, like, at the time I came here, I'm an OG of the youth group, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would hang out with the youth group more. And I think the one thing that I can say, though, is genuinely just thank you for your time.
Of course.
Like,
dude,
thank you for not just the 25 years of radio and what you've done for Atlanta, but thank you for taking time out of your schedule and sitting down with me plenty of times and just, you know, having breakfast with me or lunch and just being able to, like, give me advice and just have a one-on-one with me. And I felt like that was the most powerful thing. I carried so much of what every single one of you have shared with me. And, like, I think I wouldn't be so confident and reassured of who I am now if it wasn't for every single one of you guys.
I feel really good about that. I think that take radio out of it. I think that's what business and life is supposed to be about. I know Kristen and I feel like a responsibility because we've been doing this for a very long time and we had amazing radio mentors. And we didn't tell people that we were mentors back then, Abby. It just happened. But I think there's a responsibility, no matter what business you're in, if you have that experience, it's to pass that on to the next generation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like something special. It's something you do.
It's kind of, if you care about this industry and you have and care about others, then of course you're gonna want to see them shine. You're gonna want to see them thrive, and you're gonna do what you can to help guide with, you know. We'll use the term wisdom very lightly. But I know I asked you, Romeo, I'm like, because, you know, Romeo and I are still very much in touch. And I was texting with him and I was like, yo, so, like, is there a moment you want to relive from your tenure on the show? And you had a couple of ideas. So which one are we going to go with today?
Yeah, there was three main core memories that I had. But the one I chose, I think, is the one bit that put me on the map. Genuinely, it was the one thing that I think a lot of people were like, oh, this kid is down, you know, to do anything. And it was, it started off with a bet between Katie and I. It was over a billiards game, a pool game. Uh-huh. And essentially, we had a big bet. I think it started off as a simple bet, and then we brought it into the studio, and then it became way bigger than what it was supposed to be.
That's what we did.
Uh-huh, make it bigger.
Yep.
And so the stakes were one game, one round, basically. And if Katie lost, she was going to shave her entire eyebrows off. And I think she had a wedding to go to, like, the next weekend or something. So it was a lot for her.
I don't think it was, like, a wedding she was going to. I think you were in the wedding, weren't you?
I was in it.
And then if I lost, essentially, I was supposed to wear a Speedo. And, you know,
Crazy enough.
I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I have kept this.
My wife, Renee, ironed those logos on the Speedo.
So if anybody wants a Speedo, it's been worn by me. But
we'll auction that off at the next noon tonight fashion show.
I don't think they're washed. But
even better, Romeo. Even better.
And so I was supposed to wear a Speedo and be outside on the corner on the streets and with a sign that said, Katie took my balls.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know why I had a two-parter because then I also was supposed to get a Brazilian wax.
Yeah.
In studio.
I forgot about that aspect. You were so uncomfortable with that.
Oh, it was not that. I mean, yeah, I was butt naked in the studio. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And I had never received a wax in my life. So it was like a first time for a lot of things.
But now you get them regularly.
I do, actually.
No, you don't.
Not regularly, but it's, you know, I kind of liked it. It was a nice feeling.
All right, so this is the audio we have?
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
All right, it is business time.
Oh, man. It's been a bumpy road. But it's about to be smooth.
Yeah, it is.
To the west. So my good friend Raquel, who is the owner of Sweet Peach Sugaring Wax Studio, she's I love her. She's a dear friend, and she's go big, go home. So, you know, when Romeo lost his bet, he and our producer, Katie, played a game of pool, and he lost. So his punishment is he has to get a full Brazilian wax. Then he has to wear a Speedo on the corner of our intersection, which is pretty busy, holding a sign that says, Katie took my balls. So instead of just having him go to one of Raquel's Sweet Peach locations, it's like, why don't we just, you know, make it easy on everybody, minus Raquel, and just do it right there in studio.
Just stop talking. Let's get it over with. I get it's radio. We got to talk, but let's get it over with. No, not ready. No, okay.
Hey, Raquel, have you put some of the wax on already?
Yep. Yeah, that's all over his balls.
Okay. All right, this is almost torturous because there he is sitting there with the wax on that area right there. And she's just getting ready to tear one off. Not one of his balls, just the hair.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Please don't take
that's
one
debatable.
Off.
So Raquel does all my waxing. And so I know when she puts the hard wax on, she has to tap it to make sure it's hard. Is she tapping your nats right now?
Yes, she is. Oh, man.
Give us a little play-by-play, Romeo.
Okay. No, it's calm. It's cool.
Kaylee, do you have a mic also? I just wanted to...
Yeah, so I'm here now.
So is she... Are you watching this whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Is she tugging down and then pulling still?
Yeah, she's... I mean, she's applying it, she's tapping it, and then she's... Rip. And she is about under his manhood right now.
So we're in Taint Village.
Yeah, we're getting down there. We're not quite there. Oh
yeah. She's going under.
Under? Okay.
Right. I would say the hotness, the warmness of it feels good.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying that.
You sound constipated.
Oh. Which part was that, Kaylee?
That was the lower part of his jewels.
The lower part of the jewels.
Okay. So the underneath, the underbelly of the balls.
All right, Romeo, give us a play-by-play where the wax is being applied.
I'm currently stretching my butt.
Yep.
In a way that I've never had before.
Hey, Kaylee, $50 if you blow on it real quick.
Romeo, don't let go, Romeo.
So wax applied, and she took the first couple of strips off the butt.
Yep. Oh, she's going for the tank top.
So is she all up in there right now?
Oh yeah,
she's done.
She's done. Okay.
You're
totally clean already.
I'm totally clean.
She got
totally
your head
trimmed. All right.
Yeah.
Well done. First. That didn't sound
pretty
too
well.
Painful.
Yeah, it
did. No problem. To you, Romeo, I say, lo siento mucho.
Yeah, you know. You say that to my boss.
You're on The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever. to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online. It's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
November is designated as National Adoption Month. But here's the thing. The Burt Show ends on Friday, so we're not going to be on the air in November. But we recorded the most beautiful conversation, and it has everything to do with adoption and adoption awareness. And we wanted to make sure our Burt Show fam got to hear it before we walked out these doors.
I have a social media friend that's now an in-person friend that has such a beautiful, compelling story about adoption. And Kelly Johns is in studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us, by the way.
Thanks for having me.
So Kelly has gone through this journey of adoption, and it's a roller coaster ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I just really wanted you to come in and share your stories and take the listeners on that ride with you.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Did you know anybody that had experience, that had gone through the process?
I have some friends that have done foster to adopt.
Got it.
And that, again, is a whole separate world. Mm-hmm. So we knew that we wanted to go the private route, just at least for our first, to have that newborn be with our baby from day one.
Gotcha.
At birth. The first thing that you have to do to get approved is to work with a local organization to get a home study. So that's like a million background checks. It's actually insane, because if you think about, if you're a biological parent, like, you could just have a baby.
Yeah.
No one checks who you are. Mm-hmm. But to adopt, you have to be not perfect. You could have a few little mistakes in your past, but we had to show all of our financials. We had to get physicals, blood tests, drug tests, like updated vaccines. They had to come to our house and make sure it was safe, that we had a room for the baby.
And as I'm listening, just to go back really quick, when you were choosing an agency and you wanted to make sure that you went with an agency that wasn't pressuring birth mothers to do this, because there is a bottom line here, which is sad but true. So I'm assuming if you have that mentality going in, at no point in time can you get attached to anything. Because at any point, even if she's in delivery, she can choose to keep the baby. So you have to keep your emotions in check the entire time, because that was a mission of yours. At any point in time, the birth mother can say, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And that had to have been really, really hard.
Yes. And I was going to get to that point at the end. But yeah, so we got to be there for the birth of our child. Spoiler alert, I have a baby now.
I wouldn't have this story on here if it didn't have a happy ending, people.
But technically in the state of Georgia, the birth mother has 4 days to change her mind after the baby's born. So after the home study process, where you're just basically getting checked to make sure you're not crazy and that you can financially, emotionally, you know, care for a child, then our profile was able to go live with this marketing site. So what the profile entails is you're basically like, you want to make yourself look like the most desirable parents. You don't want to lie, but you want to make yourself look so fun. You want to just show the best sides of yourself. And what someone at my office told me, she has four adopted children. She was like, just make it so fun and colorful because you want that birth mom to see, okay, this is the life my child's going to have. So like some people do profiles that are like muted and like, you know, like kind of the style today is like muted houses.
Very beige.
Beige. It's like, no, that's not going to pop. So we went to a playground and we did a photo shoot, like going down the slide. And we did our profile was like super so bright. And you write all about yourself, what led you to adoption. Just giving that birth mother a sense of this is the life my child will have if these are their parents. So once we were approved with the home study, that profile went up on the site. And they told us, you know, the average wait is like 14 months before you get a match. So we were like, okay, we're just chilling. Like 2024, we're just going to enjoy the year. And, but I always said like, oh, what if I had a baby by Christmas? Like that was just my dream. But with the average timeline, I knew that was probably not likely. 3 weeks after our profile went live, we got a call that a birth mother was interested in us. And I was like, what? Like that just never, we never thought that would be a possibility that quick.
See, I can't even keep my emotions in check right now because as soon as I get that phone call, I'm in my head like, we're going to have a baby. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I sobbed. So I was driving home from work. I was alone in my car and I was like, I want to tell my husband in person. You know, so I get home, I tell him and he's like, what? We're just in shock. But we both didn't want to get our hopes up, like you said. Because like, oh, you know, she only wants to chat. You know, maybe she doesn't end up liking us. And the agency said, well, she wants you to text her tonight to start chatting. And that's also very common, we learned, is that most birth mothers just want to text at first because they're also very nervous. So that's a whole other side I didn't think of ahead of time, is like what they're going through, I can't even imagine, you know?
It's a traumatic experience.
Yes. And for them to just like start chatting with these random people who might raise their child. And so
the stakes are high.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I have to be professional, but I don't want to be like too corporate.
It's like a job interview for a baby.
Yes. Yeah. So I text her and, you know, I made sure, going back to the no pressure, I just said, we would love to chat with you at any point. You know, just let me know what questions you have. And she just like went straight in and she was like, you know, this is what I want to do. I loved everything I saw on your profile. She started going over the things that she loved about us, which was super sweet. And she said, I can just tell that you would give the baby a safe and loving home.
Oh, did you just like your heart melt in that moment?
Yeah. And I was like, what a compliment, you know, just from seeing our profile. So the next morning, I hadn't heard back from her. We texted for a couple hours, but then it was too late and I hadn't heard back. So then I'm freaking out. Like, oh, does she not like me anymore? And the next morning she texted and said, I would like y'all to raise him.
Wow.
And I was like, so is it official? So I go home and tell my husband and we're both freaking out, but still there's that.
Yeah.
That stress. Okay. Well, that she just said this. We just met her via text. So then the agency calls a couple days later and they're like, hey, we talked to her. Like she wants to fully go into the connection phase, which is like, that's the next phase. We were just in like the talking phase and now we're fully matched and connected.
Yeah. Now it's like you guys are going to go on a date.
Yes.
This is crazy.
Yes. So then, we're texting and she says she wants to meet us in person. So we go meet up with her, freaking out the whole drive there and it went great.
What location? Like, I'm so curious, like, how do you decide where you're going to meet?
Yeah, we met at a restaurant. I want to keep it vague just to protect her privacy.
I appreciate that.
But her mom came and her mom's very on board as well, which is hard to find, I've heard. Because a lot of times, like, the grandmothers will be like, oh, no, I'll just swoop in and raise the baby. But she was very supportive of the adoption and very, very kind to us and still is. And another spoiler alert, we have an open adoption, so we still see them and it's wonderful. And that first visit, it was not awkward. It was just, she was nervous, we were nervous, but it still felt very natural. And a couple weeks later, they came to our house to see, you know, where the baby would live.
Oh my goodness.
And then she invited us to all of her doctor's appointments, which again is, from what I've heard, is just rare. Mm-hmm. Like, so we just got so lucky. She is the most, just the kindest, and she was calling us the parents from, you know, that connection phase, like at the doctor, she was referring to the baby as our baby.
Wow.
And I got to feel her belly and hear his heartbeat. And of course, I'm sobbing at that in the doctor's office.
That first ultrasound must have been just...
Yes. So the whole time I'm crying at every appointment and we're just elated the whole time. And throughout it all, trying to keep that faith that this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that they told us the average is about 25% of birth mothers who change their mind like at birth, which... I understand, you know, because you don't know how you're going to feel once the baby comes out. So we get to the hospital on the day of the birth. She let us be there at the birth. And the whole time, it was a scheduled C-section. And she was going to have her mom in there with her, which, again, understandable. It's a major surgery, you know.
Yep.
And that morning, as they're prepping her, she said, "I have a surprise for you, Kelly." And she said, "I want you to be the one in there with me for the C-section." And I just broke down. It's like, why? Because we were exchanging gifts, you know?
That's like,
and then,
what a gift.
Yes.
Like, that's so beautiful. What a gift from one mother to another.
Yeah.
That way you can experience that moment and have, like, that's really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, so, like, selfless and giving of her.
Yes. And to have that gift and for her to, like, just, again, fully see me, like, as his mother, And she'll always be his birth mother. And so I got to be in there and see him come out. And I'm like sobbing. I have that mask on, you know, I've got the whole scrubs and my mask is just full of snot. And she's crying too, of course, because it's, can't imagine what she's feeling inside. So I'm comforting her and I'm telling her, you know, you're always going to be his birth mom. He's always going to know you. And it was just the greatest moment of my life. And I got to go over and hold his little fingers and he stopped crying. But I didn't hold him yet because she wanted us to all be together to like meet him for the first time with my husband. So after we got out of the surgery room, we all got to be together and hold him for the first time. And she, again, this just shows her strength. Like she watched us hold him for the first time before she ever did. And she didn't know ahead of time if she was going to hold him because she didn't know how she was going to feel in the moment. And she did decide to. And she just, again, the strength, like she didn't break down. So the lawyers come and we have to step out of the room with our new baby boy for her to sign the paper. So we're waiting in this random like testing room, freaking out. And like 30 minutes go by. I'm like, what is taking so long to sign papers? And the lawyer comes in to see us and she's like, "Okay, great, it's signed." And we're like,
oh, what a relief. Yeah.
So we're sobbing and she goes, "What, were you nervous?" And we're like, "Yes." Yeah. Oh, I had no doubt about her. She seemed so confident the whole time. We're like, "Yeah, we know, but still."
There's always that, well, like that's, yeah, that percentage.
Yeah. So we signed the papers and we're just rejoicing and holding our baby boy. And then the moment came to say goodbye. And again, we knew this was an open adoption. So it wasn't like we weren't going to see her again. We saw her just 2 months later. But man, was that emotional. Because that, I think, is the moment that really hit her. And so that is the point that we all just broke down. And her mom was still there and we said a prayer together and it was beautiful. I don't want to say tragically beautiful because it's not a tragedy at all, but you know what I mean? It was just like so much emotion, so beautiful. And just, it was all love though. So that's what I like to say is that everything is rooted in love. So many emotions. Then we got to take him home.
Wow.
Birth Show listeners, this was just a small snippet of the conversation we had with Kelly Johns. If you want to hear our entire 45-minute conversation, you can go to our podcast and download it today.
Listen, it's the Birch Show.
You know, that's an old cliche that the signs are always all around you. You just have to have your eyes open enough to see them, right? And we had a moment like that this morning when Andy Stanley from North Point Ministries came in here. And it was just the perfect timing for me personally without getting into it. I have been listening to his messages a lot from his last couple of sermons that have everything to do with like when you're being attacked, how would you react if you're being attacked? And it hurts so badly that how would you respond to it if you knew God was behind you, man? Like you had the confidence, like, this is all going to work out. God's got my back right here, right? Rather than doing what comes natural to us, like you're being hurt, so you want to hurt back, right? And I have certainly had those thoughts recently. And him being in studio and I didn't know he was going to be here this morning, I have sort of been asking God for a sign to help me in a certain situation. And the fact that he was here this morning after I watched those sermons talking about the thing that's been jarring to me for the last couple of months was a sign, man. And it almost made me cry this morning.
You did. Like, yeah. Man, we almost had him, Abby.
You got so close.
And no disrespect to your Lord and Savior, but I have those same thoughts, but I think of Dolly Parton.
Is it
too late to get Dolly in studio?
What would Dolly do? Okay.
What would Dolly do?
And then there was this yesterday as I was scrolling, and it has taken, man, I've been wrestling with my algorithm the last couple of months, trying to get all the crap out of it and fill my eyes and my soul with more positive stuff.
Good luck.
And no, it's been a wrestling match, but I'm getting there. I'm about 50% where I need to be right now. And this one hit me right between the eyes and the heart yesterday because it has everything to do with how I'm feeling about you guys right now in a very difficult situation.
Real friends clap the loudest when you win, even if they're still waiting for their turn. Real friends lift you up, even when they're carrying their own weight. Real friends know your success is a reflection of hard work, not luck. Real friends are happy to see you shine because your light doesn't dim theirs. And real friends do the same back.
I should save that for the last day because I'm about to cry.
Oh, yes.
This is what this show is. These are not just people that I come in here and I open a mic with and make fun of and get made fun of. And we have a really great time. I think the best businesses are the ones that really can take a look at each other and really have fondness and love for each other. And the fact that a lot of people's business right now after the show ends is open-ended and it's a very, very scary time. Abby, I thought, did a really great time of expressing that yesterday. Yet, Kristen also, man, is going through a very stressful time here. Tommy, he's not stressed. He's getting in an RV. But most of the staff is really stressed out right now. A lot of them have some really great opportunities in front of them right now, but they aren't tied in a nice little boat just yet. So that has certainly given me relief. But the fact that Kristen has been instrumental in putting together a show and respecting the 25 years and demanding that I take a look at this show and the impact that it has had over the last 25 years while she's going through this time of certainty speaks volumes about Kristen. And off the air, I said the same thing to her. It's just that, damn, woman, I can't thank you enough, because for me, I would have handled this exit the way that I handle everything. And that is run as fast as I can away from it. And then deal with the emotions of it, if ever, later. Kristen was not going to have that. So what she has done is really made me take a look at the lives that this show, not just me, that is for sure, has had an impact on, and things that I had forgotten about, man, that I haven't remembered in years. When Andy came in this morning and said that we read a letter from his daughter, I can't even remember if I knew it was his daughter at the time, that ended up being a book of inspiration for other girls. I forgot all about that.
It's crazy, the ripple effect, the domino effect of like one singular segment that was just on the schedule. But that's the power of words. And that's also the responsibility of having a platform like this for the past 25 years, is to be able to make an impact. And for me, it's making impacts in the smallest of ways, not just the biggest of ways.
And, you know, I want to pull this back to you and the rest of the staff, because this is really difficult. Coming in here and celebrating the end of what is an institution, you know, and here I am looking at new opportunities and a freedom that I've never had before and an authenticity that I'm hoping to find out also. It's your friends that when they see you living out your dream, even though it conflicts with theirs.
We love you, man. We just want you to be happy.
Cool. This is such a gift, man. Not just the 25 years, but the gift that you have given me by forcing me into taking a look at it and appreciate it. Because I would have ran out of here, man. But you wouldn't let me do that. None of you guys would. And I just want to thank you guys for that.
You're very welcome. There was no other way that the show was going to handle the closing of the curtain of the Burt Show. And not just this current staff, but every single person that has been involved with this show over the years and the impact that it's had on the community, the impact that it's had on listeners, and the impact it's had on us. So it's been hard, but it's been super fulfilling. And this is the proper exit. Like, and yeah, little behind the scenes, Tommy has been working tirelessly. Tracy has been helping immensely. And so it was just imperative that we wanted our friend to have the fond farewell that he deserved.
You have done that. It's the Burt Show for now.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.